from Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Yesterday, I went to Lewis, Longford, and Corinth and did a test drive of a new Ford Escape. Now, I'm not in the market, not looking for one, not about to buy one. But the reason I went was that the Corinth High School Band had a fundraiser. I'd never heard of something like this. Maybe you have. But Ford has a new program where it's called Drive for Your School. And the Corinth Band had a fundraiser where if 300 people were to test drive cars yesterday, they would receive $6,000. Wow. What a deal. I asked Luke, trying to make sense of that, how is that? How do they make money doing that? How could they possibly pay the school $6,000 just because 300 people test drove a vehicle? He said, "Well, I think they figure it like this. Out of all them people, if all them test drive, at least one of them's going to wreck that car and then they got to buy it." So I don't know if that's exactly how it works. But it could be that they're playing the averages. It could be that they thought if just 1% of those who test drive decide they need a new vehicle, then that would pay for the program. Well, so much inspired us to drive, but little of it had to do with wanting a new vehicle. The reason I went was not so much for Long Lewis Ford, and it really wasn't so much for Corinth High School Band. The main reason I went is because Luke asked me to. That's what we do as family, isn't it? That's what we do as parents when our kids, when those we love need us, we deliver. You know, yesterday at the wedding that I preached at, we visited with a couple that had a young little boy that's about to be implanted with his cochlear implants. He's 3 years old, and I thought back on our journey when Noah was 4 and how we moved to St. Louis and spent several years living there. We moved lock, stock, and barrel, not knowing what to expect. And sometimes people would say that really inspires or encourages us that you all would move across the country. But isn't that what we do as parents, as family members? When our children, when those we love are in need, what do? We go to them. We serve their needs. You know, in our scripture today, we hear this challenge, this grumbling, the text tells us, by the Pharisees, by the teachers of the law. I almost said lawyers, but I didn't want to offend Price and Marissa today. It says these teachers of the law, these Pharisees, were grumbling because Jesus went to dwell and have fellowship with sinners and tax collectors. You know, in the eyes of the grumblers, that's what they were, right? In the eyes of the world, they were sinners. But in the eyes of Jesus, you know who they were? They were children, like our children. They were family members, like our family members. As I, as a loving parent, as you as loving parents and children, go to those in need who are most intimate in our life. That, it seems, is the core of what Jesus is teaching us today. These were not sinners. These were not tax collectors so much as they were this. Children of the Most High God. You see, that's the difference. It's the view that Jesus has when he looks upon us, my friends, that makes all the difference in our salvation, in God's grace, in our life. But you know what I find even more amazing in this passage of Scripture today is not only did Jesus tell the story of how the call of the church is to go to the person in need, but it was the call of Jesus to go to those even that were undeserving. You know, when I hear this passage, I think of when he gives us this example of the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. You know, if I imagine that there was a sheep that got misplaced in the 100, that sheep must have been misbehaving, wouldn't you think? He wandered off. He was being a bad sheep, wasn't he? He was doing what he didn't need to do. He got lost. It was his own fault. But the shepherd didn't hold his offense against the sheep. The shepherd went. Why? Because the sheep was in need. It didn't matter so much why the sheep was in need. It didn't matter so much that the sheep had brought the lostness upon himself. But no, the shepherd had one who was lost, so he went to find. Wow, what love. You know, I think about when I was a young person and I used to love having my birthday parties. I would dress up. I wanted to be the best dressed one. And I remember once I was grounded about the time that birthday party came. And Mom gave me the bad news. No birthday party this year. You are grounded. You got to pay the piper. And oh, I was just so upset. We finally went up to my grandmother's. That was my grandmother's, my daddy's mom. And we were just going to go up there and visit them a little bit. And I walked in the house. And as soon as I did, I heard a little noise back behind grandmother's couch. And I peered over, and just as I was looking over the couch, about five or six of my cousins jumped up from behind the couch and said, "Surprise! Happy birthday!" And I just burst out in tears. I was embarrassed and scared and happy all at the same time. Why? Because I had received a gift that I didn't deserve. Me, like the wandering sheep in the parable that Jesus told today, I had brought an offense upon myself. There were consequences. I didn't deserve to have a birthday party, but I was still given it because I was a child. I was loved. The grace was exuded to me by my parent. And God, my friends, graces us much more than we can even fathom, even beyond what we don't deserve. But not only does Jesus explain to us that we are worthy to be found like the lost sheep, but listen to this. It tells us in our passage here that Luke, the writer of the gospel, says to us that the shepherd went to find the sheep even as the sheep was in the wilderness. You see, when we hear that word wilderness, in the first century, it meant something much different than it might to us today. Sure, we can think of a wilderness or a forest being a place that could be large and daunting to travel through. But the wilderness, my friends, in the first century world was a place of desolation. It was a place where one feared being attacked, where one feared that their very life could be challenged, that they could not survive in the wilderness. And friends, here Jesus tells us that the shepherd went even into the wilderness to find his lost sheep. See, it tells me that the shepherd thought we were worth searching for, but also risking his own life for. The shepherd sought the sheep, even when he was being threatened. What kind of God would do that? What kind of God would risk his very life to deliver us to life? Only the Savior above. That seems to be the essence of this story that Jesus is telling us. Not only are we worthy to be saved, not because of what we do, but because of who God is. But Jesus risked it all that we might be found. Wow. What encouragement. What grace. You know, I think of a story when I shared with you that I preached a wedding yesterday. I think of a story that I saw once in the Seattle Times about a wedding that took place a few years ago. The one being married was a man named Jace Allen, who is an elder in the First Presbyterian Church in Seattle. Jace was 47 years old, getting married for the first time. Starting his life anew once more. But it wasn't the first time that Jace Allen had started his life anew. He said he remembers his journey of faith began when he was only 19 years old in college. He was living life in the fast lane, sharing the fun and creative entertainment that can only be found in a fraternity house. And Jay said, in the midst of that, I found something lacking and missing in my life. One of my fellow classmates came and visited with me. In the midst of my spiritual rebellion, I remember crying out with my finger pointing toward heaven, God, if you're real, you better show up right now. And he said, within a few minutes, there was a knock on his door. And the classmate said, I came to talk to you. And he said, who sent you? Jace asked in his question. He said, I was sent by God. Jace said it was through that experience and that visit he began his spiritual journey by claiming faith in Christ. He said he became so passionate in his faith that he quit school. He joined this cult-like church in the suburb area of Seattle. And eventually the cult played out. And he saw as he drove away from the compound one day, if this is who God is and this is the church, then I want nothing to do with it. He said he eventually finished school and he started working. He became somewhat successful, but there was still something lacking in his life. So he turned to drugs and alcohol addiction, searching to fill the void, the hunger in his life for meaning and something more in this world. He said the addiction eventually overtook him. He lost his job. He lost everything. He was living homeless beside a trash bin in urine-stained clothes and sleeping on the street. And one morning by the trash bin, as he had lost all faith, given up on God and the church, he heard a voice and received in his words a visit from Jesus who said, my son, if you don't change now, it's about to get much harder. I'm not sure you can make it. Jay said he could visualize losing his life, but he couldn't visualize life being harder than he was. He said the remaining change that he had in his pocket that he was going to buy the next day's beer with, instead he used that change to make a call to the one who had introduced him to Christ those many years ago. He said his friend Mike came, and Mike took him to a place to have him cleaned up, to give him once more another chance at faith and at life. 4 years later, he'd been sober, and he began a ministry at First Presbyterian, ministering to people suffering with addictions. He became the executive director of their outreach for urban ministry. You see, I think what Jace discovered on his journey was this. He thought that his faith began, friends, when he found Jesus. But all those years later, he realized this. His faith didn't begin in his finding Jesus. No, his faith began when Jesus found him. Isn't that the story of us all? God comes to us in our wandering. God comes to us in our sin and our mistakes, in our brokenness, in the power of this parable today. And He comes to us like the lost sheep, perhaps deserving the peril that we face in life. And He says to us, "You are my child. Come home. Be loved. Have life." You know, I saw a story recently about a fisherman in the Philippines. Maybe you heard this story. Whose home had recently burned. And before his home had burned, 10 years ago, he was a diver. He dove for pearls. And he found this enormous 75-pound pearl. It had come out of a clam shell. And he thought it was nothing more than a good luck charm of no value. He placed it under his bed. And during the house fire and after everything was falling in, he got the pearl out and a few other things. And a local person with the tourism department saw the pearl. He said, "We need to have that appraised." They did. And they found that the 75-pound pearl had a value of $100 million. You know, so often in life, we may feel like we're nothing more than a good luck charm. Perhaps the world looks upon us as the fisherman did initially, that pearl, and saw it as nothing more than obstruction. Nothing more than a stumbling block. Maybe that's what the world looks upon us, and we need to be cast aside like the pearl, hidden out of place so no one can see us or be around us. But God comes to us and looks upon us for what we can be with His grace, and sees in us not a scarred stone, but a beautiful, priceless jewel. Friends, hear with me today. You are children of the Most High God, worthy to be found, eager to be loved. Amen. Friends, as we reflect upon that sermon today, I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer. And let us affirm the message of this message as we pray together. God, we bow in your presence, knowing and celebrating that it is your grace that claims us. That we embrace our faith so much, not so much because we find you, but in your finding us. As we bow today, perhaps there are some of us that need our faith renewed like Jace Allen. Or maybe there are some here that have never trusted you as Lord, have never began that journey. May you affirm with us now that we can begin that journey today. If we admit that we are sinful, that we are broken, that we need your grace to restore us and forgive us. If that is our state now, I ask that we ask the Lord of life to become our Savior. That we believe today, O God, in a way that we've not been able to before, that you are love, that we are yours. Will you begin? Will you renew that journey for us as your children? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me?